Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Lamed Ches. We left off on daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis at the Mishnah. Shor Shal Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shal Hegdish V'Shal Hegdish Shenogach Shor Shal Hedyot Pater. If a Jew's ox, a regular Jew's ox, gores an ox of Hegdish, or an ox of Hegdish gores a regular person's ox, the halacha is that there's no chiyuv, that it's absolutely Pater. The Amshal Shlomo writes that this is only when we talk about real Hegdish, when we talk about Hegdish Gavoah, but the fact that we refer to money set aside for Aniyim, or for Talmud Torah, or for a shul as Hegdish, doesn't fall into this halacha. In terms of this halacha, that kind of Hegdish would have a din of a Hedyot. But when it's real Hegdish, in either direction it's going to be Pater, Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Shorei Ehu, the Pasuk that talks about the Chiyuv, says, V'chiyig of Shor Ish, as Shorei Ehu, Meisu Machres, Asharachai, V'chitzu, as Kasbao. It tells us, Dafka, when it's Shorei Ehu, there's such a Chiyuv, and we darshan, V'lo Shor Shal Hegdish. It's only when it's Shorei Ehu, but not Shor Shal Hegdish. Shor Shal Hegdish, you're going to be Pater. Now the Shitas HaKadmonim asks, what's the Havamina to say you would have been Chayiv? Meaning, let's say Hegdish gores a regular person's ox. Actual Hegdish gores a regular person's ox. How am I supposed to get paid from Hegdish? I'm not allowed to get Hana from Hegdish. So what's the Havamina that I can get paid from Hegdish? So he suggests that maybe since we have a halacha that Hegdish does not have to be nifta b'shavyo, the pidyon could work even if the amount isn't exactly equal. So maybe the Havamina would be that the Nizik, who's a regular guy, would give a little bit of money in order to be poda the animal from Hegdish, not near its value, and then he'll collect from the animal whatever the value of the damage is. So maybe there's such a havamina. That's why the Mishnah tells me, no, that it's absolutely pater. Just a ha'ara, I didn't see anyone, the Bach deals with it, but the Bach points out over here that we start with Shor Shal Yisrael, Shenagach Shor Shal Hegdish, and then the flip side is Shal Hegdish Shenagach L'Shor Shal, should have been Yisrael probably, for parallel, goes to Hedyot. So it's a little bit strange. So the Bach turns it both to Hedyot. He says, probably he assumes Yisrael got stuck in there because of the next din in the Mishnah, which is going to relate to a Jew and a non-Jew's ox. But really, the first part of the Mishnah is about a Hedyot versus Hegdish. So says the second part of the Mishnah, Shor Shal Yisrael Shenagach L'Shor Shal Kanani, Pater. If a shor of a Jew gores a shor of a Kanani, the halacha is he's pater. V'shal Kanani shenagach l'shor shel Yisrael bein tam bein muad mishalim nezek shalim. But a Kanani shor gores a shor of Yisrael, so it doesn't matter whether it's a tam or a muad. It's always going to pay nezek shalim. So it's not only chayiv; it's going to be chayiv the full amount. The Gemara is going to explain why that should be so. So Masnisa the Lok Rav Shimon ben Menasya. First the Gemara says, wait a second. Our Mishnah seems to be against Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Titanya Shor Shal Hedyot Shenagach Shor Shal Hegdish Vishal Hegdish Shenagach Shor Shal Hedyot. If you have Shor Shal Hegdish that either is mazik or is a nizik. Pater Shneimar Shorei Ehu v'lo Shor Shal Hegdish. Right, that's like our Mishnah so far because it says Shorei Ehu, and we darshan that a Shor Shal Hegdish is excluded from the discussion. Rabbi Shimon Menasya Omer Shor Shal Hegdish Shenagach Shor Shal Hedyot Pater. True, if a Shor of Hegdish gores a regular person's Shor, it's going to be Pater, like the Mishnah said. But Vishal Hedyot Shenagach Shor Shal Hegdish. A shor of a hedyot gores a shor shal hegdish, doesn't matter whether it's tam or muad, you're always going to pay nezek shalem. That's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said you should be pater in both directions because of sharei ehu. So it seems that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. So says the Gemara, Amri, Maika Sava Rabbi Shimon. What exactly does Rabbi Shimon hold in terms of reading the Pesukim? How can he have a one-way street over here? Mimanashach, Ire Ehu Dafka, Afilu Shal Hedyot Shenagach Shal Hegdish Liftar. If Rei Ehu is Dafka, that you're only going to be Chayiv when you gore Shor Rei Ehu, then even if a Shor Shal Hedyot gores a Shor Shal Hegdish, you should be Pater. Why does he say you're Chayiv Nezek Shalim when a regular Shor gores a Shor Shal Hegdish? The I Rei Ehu Lav Dafka, and if the word Rei Ehu is Lav Dafka, but it really just means everybody, then then even when a shor shel hagdish scores a shor shel hagdish, you should be chayiv, because it has nothing to do with re'ehu. It doesn't have to be a regular person. V'chi, a regular Jew. V'chi teima li olam kesav re'ehu dafka. And if you're going to say that, oh, maybe he really holds re'ehu as dafka. So really, you should always be pater, even if your shor gores a shor shel hagdish. Umiyu de hediot kinagach de hagdish hainu taima de mechayiv. Maybe the reason he says you're chayiv when a hedyot gores a shor shel hagdish is from a kal v'chomer, from a hedyot, as follows. Uma hedyot shenagach shel hedyot chayiv, ki nagach de hagdish lo kol shkein de mechayiv. That if a hedyot gores another shor shel hedyot, we know you're chayiv. So in kal v'chomer, it's much worse to gore a shor shel hagdish, one would assume. It's much worse to damage the Ribbono Shel Olam's property than to damage your friend's property. So it would seem that certainly you'd be chayiv. So maybe from the psukim in a chinami you'd be pater. But we have a kal v'chomer that teaches us a chiyuv when it's a shor shel hagdish that gores a shor shel hagdish. But says the Gemara, that can't be true. Because dayo labam min adin lios kanidon. Because if you're going to derive it from a kal v'chomer of a shor shel hagdish that gores a shor shel hagdish, then it should have the same halacha of a shor shel hedyot that gores another shor shel hedyot. Namely, that the first three times it's a tam, it only pays chatzi nezek. It doesn't pay nezek shalim until it's a muad. But yet Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya held that a shor shel hedyot that gores a shor shel hegdish is going to pay nezek shalim on the first time. So it can't just be that it's a kal v'chomer. So elam reish lakish, Hakol hayu b'chal nezek shalim. Really, everything should have been included in nezek shalim. Meaning, it makes sense that when one ox scores another, it's going to be chayiv nezek shalim. Kishapir l'cha akasav re'ehu gabe tam, re'ehu hu de tam shalim chatzei nezek, mechal de hegdish bein tam in mu'am shalim nezek shalim. The word re'ehu appears in the pasuk describing a short tam. The chiddush of that pasuk is that you don't pay nezek shalim. The chiddush is not that you pay something. It's not that the default position is you pay nothing. And then the pasuk comes and tells me, oh, but if it's shor re'ehu, then you pay something. No. The default position is, of course, you're going to pay nezek shalem. But then the pasuk of re'ehu is bedafka said by a tam, where it says that by a tam, you're going to pay chatzi nezek. When do you pay chatzi nezek? When it's re'ehu. When it's a shor tam that gores shor re'ehu. But if it's your shor tam that gores a shor shel hagdish, then you go back to the default position and you pay nezek shalem. Dim kain nichtav kara lahai re'ehu gabe muad. Because if the pasuk were coming to exempt a muad, then it should have mentioned it by muad. The Torah should have said it. Should have said the idea of re'ehu by muad. So obviously, it's not coming to exempt a shor shel hagdish. So a shor shel hagdish, of course, shor shel hedyot is going to be chayiv. A shor shel hedyot, not shor shel hagdish, is going to be chayiv. If you look at Rashi on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Rashi has 2 days of how to understand this whole Gemara. But let's go with the first one. Hakol hayu b'chal nezek shalim, says Rashi. Ha'amr b'muad, d'chsiv b'muad shalim y'shalim shor. It says by muad you pay nezek shalim. U'b'muad lo nemar re'ehu. By muad the word re'ehu never comes up. Hilkach kulam b'mashma. And therefore everything seems to be included. Hegdish, hedyot doesn't matter by muad. Harei lecha hedyot chayiv b'hegdish. And therefore a hedyot is going to be chayiv for damaging hegdish. Hilchach kishapir l'cha akasav re'ehu b'tam. So when the word re'ehu comes up by tam, lo liftar hedyot b'nezek hegdish ba, it's not coming to tell me that a hedyot is not going to have to pay for a hegdish, for a shor shel hegdish that it damages. El lachmir lav ba, l'shalim nezek shalim b'hegdish. But it's come to me machmir to tell me that when a shor shel hegdish gor shor shel hegdish pays nezek shalim. Limarchash lo lahotzi tam l'chal nezek shalim el gabei re'ehu. Tam is only excluded from Nezek Shalim and instead asked to pay Chatzi Nezek when it's Re'ehu. Dim Kain, the Liftar Ba, because if it were really coming to exempt, Nichtevei Gabe Muad, then it should say it by Muad. Aval Hegdish Behediot Pater, the Hegdish Afilu Bechlal Muad Lohaya, because Hegdish was never included in the Parsha of Muad, the Lekalimim of Ahuad Bebailov, Vakoshkin Betam, the Chsivichig of Shorish. Now, what Rashi deals with is why then does when a shor shel hegdish gores a shor shel hedyot, doesn't he have to pay? So he says, well, a shor shel hegdish doing the damage, being the mazik, is never included in the parsha in the first place, because that the pasuk does say v'chi yigov shor ish, right? That it's v'huad bebailov. That muad is dafka bebailov. It's dafka when there's a regular owner. And chiyigav shor ish, when it's a shor ish, when it's a shor that belongs to an individual owner that does the damage, it's going to be chayiv. So certainly, when the shor shel hekdesh is the mazik, that's excluded explicitly in the psukim. When the shor shel hekdesh is the nizik, so that's what we're saying. You should pay nezek shalem because it's not. It's included in the psukim of the nezek shalem, and it's not limited, and it's not included in the pasuk of Tam, which limits it to chati nezek. Okay, now the Gemara is going to explain the seeming inequity in terms of dealing with a non-Jewish shor and a Jewish shor. Shor shel Yisrael shenagah shor shel Kanani pater, non-Jewish owned shor. Right, shor can't be Jewish. So Amri mimanavshach. So the question mimanavshach. Ire ehu dafka de kanani kinagach de Yisrael nami liftar. If re ehu is dafka, then even when a shor owned by a non-Jew gores a shor owned by a Jew, you should also be pater, because it's only when it's re ehu that the parsha of Hezek is said. V'ire ehu lav dafka, and if re ehu is lav dafka, filu de Yisrael kinagach de kanani nechayiv, then even a shor shel Yisrael that gores a shor shel kanani should be chayiv, because re ehu is lav dafka means every. Everybody. So I'm Rabbi Avo, Amar Kra, Amad Vayimodid Eretz Ra Vayater Goyim. What is the Pasuk teaching me? Ra Sheva Mitzvah Shekiblo Aleim B'nei Noach, Kivan Shalokimu, Amad Vihitir Mamonon Yisrael. That when the Ribbono Shalom saw that the Goyim were not observing the seven mitzvos, so they were not being Mekayim, the seven mitzvos, so he's Amad Vihitir Mamonon Yisrael. He got up and he was Matir the Mamon to Klal Yisrael. Now, Tosus points out it's Dafka Binyan Zeh. It doesn't mean Matir all the money. It's Dafka Legabe Hezek, right? Binyan Shar Shalanu Shenagach Shar Binyan Zeh Shenagach Shar Shalanu Shar Shalahem. He says, if you're going to say Gezel Kanani is Mutter, it doesn't really fit so well with my Chiddush, Tosu says. But I think that this would work if you say Gezel Kanani is Aser, meaning the idea that we're Matir Mamonim to Klal Yisrael is not true across the board. It's only regarding this din that we're Matir Mamonim to Klal Yisrael. The Archaim HaKadosh says that because Klal Yisrael keeps the world running with the Torah mitzvos, and they're not doing their part, so we're responsible for the Kiyum HaOlam. So through that, we're Zochim B'Shelahem. Through that, they owe us. And that's why it's Hitir Mamonim. That's what the Archaim HaKadosh writes in Parshas B'Chukosai. But Pashtus, the Gemara is just saying that's the explanation for the inequitable laws of Nezek. Now it's interesting. So does Re'ehu include Gayim or does it not include Gayim? So many of the Rishonim understand that Lamaskana Re'ehu does not include Gayim. That Gayim are excluded from Re'ehu. And we get to get their money when they damage us, even though we shouldn't, because they're excluded from Re'ehu, because Hitir Mamonon Yisrael. The Rabbeinu B'chai points out that we just read in this past week's parsha that the pasuk says Ve'yishalu ish me'es Re'ehu, when the Jews are supposed to go take the Bizas Mitzrayim. So it says Ve'yishalu ish me'es Re'ehu, they're going to take me'es Re'ehu from Re'ehu. So that sounds like Goyim are included in Re'ehu. The Mitzrim apparently were included in Re'ehu. So Ben B'chai points out, well, would be the obvious answer, that everyone was included in Re'ehu before Matan Torah. But then Matan Torah came and separated us from everybody else, so not everybody is included in Re'ehu. But the logic seems to be that they don't observe the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Now, it happens to be the Rambam in Hilchos Niskei Mamon gives the rationale for when a Jew causes damage to a guy, why he's pater, and also why a guy causing damage to a Jew is chayiv. And he gives an explanation for both sides. He says when a Jew damages a guy, he says l'fisha ein ha-goyim mechayven es ha-adam al behemto shezika v'rei anudanim lahem kidinehen. Why when a Jew damages a guy, does he not have to pay? Because when a guy damages a guy and they go to secular court, they do not have the minhag of being mechayiv each other for the damage caused by their animals. So we're going to treat them by their own halachos. That's why when we damage their animals, we're not going to have to pay, because that's their law. We're just following along their law. What about in a place where their law is not so? Where their law is you do have to watch over your... Right? Not so clear. I think the Ravid is Masig on that Rambam. He says, where I live, if a non-Jew's animal gores a non-Jew's animal, he's going to have to pay. So what's he talking about? That because it's their law, so that's what we follow. And then the Rambam explains the other side, that when a guy damages a Jew, he's chayiv because knas hu zel a goyim lufi she'en zehirin b'mitzvos, einon misalkin ezekon, because they're not careful in the Shev Mitzvos Bnei Noach, means they don't really respect basic law and order. That's what all the Shev Mitzvos Bnei Noach are about. They're about basic functioning of society. So they don't respect basic law and order, and therefore if they have something that could damage other people, they're not careful about it. Meaning you don't have to convince a Jew to keep his hezekim down and to keep them watched. If you have a mazik, if you have something that can potentially damage, a Jew will watch it. But a guy is, if he doesn't respect the idea of law and order, and he doesn't respect the idea of a basic foundation of a functional society, is not going to have his animal properly protected. So that's how the Rambam understands this halacha, that they're not zirim b'zayin mitzvahs. It's not like a punishment. They didn't do zayin mitzvahs, and therefore hifkim manon liyisrael. No, he understands it rationally, that they didn't do the zayin mitzvahs, and that shows a basic lack of respect for the way society functions, and they're likely to not watch their animals at all, and allow their animals to go and cause all sorts of damage. And that's why they're going to be chayiv when their animal damages our animals. Says the Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mehacha. No, we darshan from the, we know it from the following pasuk. Pasuk says, Hofia mehar paran, mi paran hofia mamonim li Yisrael. That it's from Paran that their mamon became mutter to Klal Yisrael. What happened in Paran? Says Rashi, kishesive v'hichzer haTorah al kol ha'umos v'lo kiblua. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the other nations and they decided to turn it down, so based on that decision, their mamon became mutter to Klal Yisrael. That's why we're able to collect from them when their shor damages our shor, we get nezek shalim. Because they turned down the Torah, they had an opportunity to receive the Torah, and they turned it down. There are various midrashim with slight variances in terms of what exactly happened, whether Ribbono Shel went b'chvod of Atzmo to all the nations of the world, whether he only went to Yishmael and Esav, whether he sent a Navi to each of the nations, like a Moshe Rabbeinu, to each of the nations to offer to bring them the Torah, whatever it is. But there is this concept, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the nations of the world the Torah, and they, for whatever reason, for a variety of reasons, chose not to accept the Torah. Now Maariv Chaya says, okay, so I see what Paran is about. Where do you get the idea of Mamon? Right? You just see the pasuk doesn't say anything about Mamon. It says Hofia Mehar Paran. What does it say anything about Mamon? So the Maariv Chaya says you have to say that the Gemara is darshaning the word Mehar as Mohar, like Kesav Yishkol Kimohar Habesulos, where it's a reference to a monetary payment of the Ksuba. So over here as well, you have to understand Hofia Mohar Paran, that the Mohar that they're going to have to pay is from what happened at Paran, from the fact that they didn't choose to accept the Torah. Tani Nami Hachi, Shor Shal Yisrael Shenagach Shor Shal Kanani Pater, Shor Shal Yisrael Gors of Shor Shal Kanani is Pater, Shor Shal Kanani Shenagach Shor Shal Yisrael Bein Tam Bein Muad Mishalim Nezek Shalim. But in the reverse, whether it's a Tam or a Muad, you're always going to pay Nezek Shalim when it's a non-Jew Shor Goring a Jew Shor. Shenemar Amar Veimod Daretz Rav Vayater Goyim Vaomer Hofia Mehar Paran. We have both of these psukim. Why do I need the second pasuk? Isn't the first pasuk sufficient? No, because you might think to use the first pasuk for the din that we're soon going to see. That's taught to us by Rav Masno. Or the din that we're soon going to see. That's taught to us by Rav Yosef. Tashma ofiyam har paran, me paran ofiyam imonon Yisrael. So that's why we have the second pasuk ofiyam har paran to tell me that from Paran, from their refusal to accept the Torah, their mamon became mutter to Klal Yisrael. So Maid Rav Masna, what exactly is this din of Rav Masna that we were referring to that's derived from the first pasuk? Dam Rav Masna Amar Veimodi Daretz Ra'a Ma Ra'a Ra'a Sheva Mitzvah Shenitztavalem B'nei Noach V'lo Kimum Amad V'Higlo Samel Ad Masam. That when he saw the seven mitzvahs that the non-Jews did not observe, they went into Galus. The Rambam famously writes that in order for a non-Jew to get credit for the Zayin Mitzvos Bnei Noach, he can't be doing it stam at a seichel. He has to be doing it to be Ovid the Ribbono Shel Olam. That he has to be doing it for the right reasons too. But anyway, when he saw that they weren't Mekayim, the seven Mitzvos Bnei Noach, that's why they went into Galus. They were thrown out of their land. Umay mashma dahai viyater lishna dagluy. What gives you the idea that the word viyater means to go into galus? So ksifach viyater goyim ksifasam lenata ben ala aretz umetagim lekafzu bohan ala aretz, to jump off the land. So you see that it refers to to the idea of galus. So that's the din of Rav. That's the idea of Rav Masna. That's what we would use the pasuk for, and that's why we can't necessarily use that first pasuk to teach me the fact that when a guy's ox gores your ox, that he's going to be chayiv nezek shalim no matter what. My Rav Yosef, what's the din of Rav Yosef that we alluded to before? Dam Rav Yosef, Amar ve'modi daritz ra'a, ma ra'a, ra'a shev mitzvah shkibla min anoch v'lkimum, Amad v'yitiron lahem. Not that he was matir, their mamon, not that they were sent into galus, no! The seven mitzvahs themselves became mutter. That once the Ribbono Shalom saw that they were no longer observing the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, so he said, you know what? If they're not going to keep it anyway, I won't give it to them. So frak the Gemara, it's guri yitkar, imkein matzinu chote niskar. Really, such a trick works. All you got to do, if you don't like one of the mitzvahs, is don't do it. And then the Ribbono Shalom says, okay, you're not going to do it anyway, it's going to be mutter. So they win. They won. They beat the Ribbono Shalom. He tried to give them seven mitzvahs, and they didn't do it, and that's why they don't have to do it anymore. So Amar Mar Breid de Rabna Lomar Shafilu Mekaymen Osan Ein Mekaymen Leim Schar. No, the point is that previously, whatever of the Zion mitzvahs they do, they would get schar. Now they don't even get schar if they try to do it. So taking away the mitzvahs was not a reward. And this is true of any mitzvah, right? We shouldn't view it as if a person is pater from mitzvah, so it's a great reward. Ah, he's pater, he doesn't have to do it. Wonderful. No. You take away the mitzvah, so you lose the... It's an opportunity. A mitzvah is not a chore. It's an opportunity. An opportunity for schus. L'ficha chibra Torah mitzvahs. Right? Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zako, says Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu want... He did it for us. He wanted to be mezakeh klal Yisrael l'ficha chirblem Torah mitzvos. That's why he gave us so many mitzvos. Meaning, he gave us so many opportunities to achieve reward. So when he wanted to punish them, he took away their mitzvos. What greater punishment could there be? So frankly, really, they don't get any schar for their mitzvos. V'lo, really, v'atanya, don't we have a brisa that tells us Rav Meir minayin shafil nachri v'osik b'Torah shuk kohen gadol? Don't we know that even a guy who's osik b'Torah, he's just like the Kohen Gadol, so it sounds like he gets schar for his mitzvahs. If a guy is osik b'Torah, so he's treated like the Kohen Gadol. The Rashba writes that it can't mean that he's osik in all of Torah. It has to mean that he's osik in the Zion mitzvahs. But if he's osik in our Torah, then he's kebal nara murasa, the Rashba writes. It's as if he's been bol in nara murasa. Where does he get that idea? Bol nara murasa. So it's based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Dafnun test that tells us that a guy is not allowed to learn Torah because Torah tzivulana moshe morasha Ki Hilas Yaakov. So it's a Marasha. We say Altikri Marasha Elama Orasa, that the Torah is like our Arusa. It's like a woman that's designated for us, that's our wife, and therefore Asura Liolam is us to everybody else. So when a guy goes and learns Torah, the parts of the Torah that they're not allowed to learn, it's as if they're Boel and Aram Urasa. So that's a terrible thing, says the Rashba. When they get Schar V'Kohen Gadol, we're talking about when they learn the Zion Mitzvos in depth, when they learn the parts of Torah that are important for them in depth. Now, you could argue the other way. You could argue that even though a guy is not, you're not allowed to teach Torah to a guy is not allowed to learn Torah, still, the Torah is unique in the sense that even if you're not allowed to learn it, learning it still helps and protects you, and still earns a person respect. It still changes the person who learns it. There may be a variety of concerns when a guy learns Torah that we're concerned about, that we don't want them doing, but nevertheless, once they've learned Torah and they've become a Tamil Chacham, it could be different. Why would I say something like that? It sounds a little stretched. So it seems that way from the Mishnayos and Sota regarding a woman. Right, the Mishnah in Sota says that the Mishnah has. Why is it in Sota? The whole sugya of women learning Torah, if you recall. Why is it? What does it have to do with Sota? So it has to do with Sota. Is the Mishnayos in Sota come up with cases where a woman, where there's the possibility that a woman is guilty of cheating on her husband. She's a guilty Sota, but some sort of zuchus will help her overcome the effect of the mayim amarim, that she's going to drink the waters, and still it's not going to affect her because she has a zuchus that's tola. So the Mishnah discusses the possibility that the zuchus of Talmud Torah is going to protect her. So the Mishnah says, but I thought kolam lamin es bito Torah kilum lam de tiflus, that a it's a bad idea for a woman to learn Torah. If you teach your daughter Torah, it's as if you're teaching her immorality. So you're teaching her to be immoral. So it's not a good idea to teach your daughter Torah. So the Mishnah says, I forgot who it was, one of the Tanaim says, yeah, I'd rather teach my daughter the Tiflus and at least have her protected. At least if she were ever in that position, she's not going to die. So what do you see from there? That it could be that it's not a good thing. It could be that it's a bad thing. But it's still going to offer protection. It's still going to change the person who learns it. It's still the Torah, right? The Torah still has an effect on he who learns it. So you don't have to say like the Rashba over here. It could be that a guy who is not supposed to study the rest of the Torah, but if he does, he's still Kekoin Gadol. Why Dafka Kekoin Gadol? Of all the people, say he's like Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Why Dafka the Kohen Gadol? So the Pasuk Yukari Himi Pninim, the Gemara Darshins, I forgot where the Gemara is, Horios, Chagig, one of the small Masechtas, the Gemara Darshins, Yukari Himi Pninim, is that Yukari Himi Kohen Gadol Shenichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim. When the Torah is described as more precious than gems, Yukari Himi Pninim, we assume that it means it's more precious than even the Kohen Gadol that's Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim. So that since that's the way the Torah is praised in describing the Torah, so it makes sense to say someone who learns Torah is like the Kohen Gadol. He's a Ki'ilu, he's the Kohen Gadol. But anyway, the Gemara is at a question over here. How can we say that a guy doesn't get any schar for mitzvahs that he does? We see for learning Torah, he gets great schar. So Tamalomar Shar Yasa Usam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem. This is still part of the question. Shar Yasa Usam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem. Kan V'lim Yisrael Munamar Ela Adam. It says if Adam does them and then V'chai Bahem. It doesn't say only Dafka Kan V'lim Yisrael. Anyone who's described as Adam. Even a Nachri that's Osik Pitar is like the Kohen Gadol. I'm sorry, that was Tosos, by the way, that I said before with the Yikari Himi Pninim. It's in Sota. Sota, Yikari Himi Pninim, Kohen Gadol. But the point is that you see that he gets rewarded. So says Maria, Amri in, Mekamalayim Schar Kimitsuva Viosa. I'm sorry, Amri Ein Mekamalayim Schar Kimitsuva Viosa, El Kamisha Eina Mitsuva Viosa. No, they do get reward, but only like an Eina Mitsuva Viosa. They don't get the full reward like a Mitsuva Viosa. Damrem Chanina, Gadol Mitsuva Viosa, Viosa Mishaina Mitsuva Viosa. It's much greater to be a Mitsuva Viosa than to be an Eina Mitsuva Viosa. You get much greater reward when you're commanded in a mitzvah. And then when you're not commanded in a mitzvah. Now there is some sort of schar for an eina mitzvah viosa, right? That's why it is encouraged for women who are pata from mitzvah shazma and grama to still do the mitzvah shazma and grama. They don't get the same schar that a man would get because they're not mitzvah viosa in those mitzvahs, but still they do get the schar of an eina mitzvah viosa, and that's sort of what leads to the whole machlokas in the Rishonim regarding whether a woman can make a bracha on a mitzvah shazma and grama, right? The idea that they cannot make a bracha is how could they say vitzivanu, right? Because they weren't commanded. But maybe the idea of them making a bracha is if they're going to get schar, so maybe they should be able to make a bracha on the mitzvah because the mitzvah is somewhat meaningful to them as well. So that's where we split the Ashkenazim and the Sfarim. The Ashkenazic tradition is that women do make a bracha, are allowed to volunteer a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama. Vitzivanu is more global. Vitzivanu is that the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded us in mitzvahs in general. But not commanded us in mitzvah, commanded us in general, Klal Yisrael, in this mitzvah. Maybe not me personally, but Klal Yisrael, us, v'tzivanu, not v'tzivc, v'tzivanu in this mitzvah. Whereas the Sephardic poskim say that a woman is not allowed to make a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama. There are exceptions on either side of the aisle, meaning the Chacham Tzvi writes that he doesn't think women should make, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, his son, also passes, that he doesn't think women should make a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama. On the other side, I think the Chida says that had the Beis Yosef seen what it says in Shalos Teshuvos Min HaShemayim, that women are really supposed to make brachas on mitzvah shazman grama. Shalos Teshuvos Min HaShemayim was a sefer written by one of the Balei HaTosfos, that he would go to sleep at night and then he would go up to Shemayim and ask all of his questions, and they would give him the answers. He would dream the answers, and then he would come down, he would wake up, and he would write down all the answers. So a unique sefer. If it was published today, I don't think anyone would believe it. So So, but anyway, so the Chida says that had Beis Yosef seen that, then he for sure would have changed his mind, which is a whole separate discussion. Do you have to change your mind just because it says so? Shalosh Shuvos Min Hashemayim. Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva about this. Just because they paskin did Min Hashemayim, does that mean that we have to paskin that way? So there are many makaros in Shas that say no, that lo b'shemayim he, it's a pasuk. But makaros in Shas where you have similar types of situations where baskel comes out, but mitzia daf nates and tanu shalachnai, right? We have a lot of examples where we don't necessarily follow what the baskel or what shemayim has to say. Okay, but anyway. That's the point, that if the guy is not chayiv in the mitzvahs anymore, so he only gets the credit as an ein mitzvah v'yosa, he doesn't get the full credit as a mitzvah v'yosa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Tan Rabbanan kvar sholcha malchus romi shnei srad yotos etel chachme yisrael lamdunu toraschem. The malchus romi sent a couple of officials to the chachme yisrael and with the mission to go learn the Torah of Klal Yisrael. Karu v'shanu v'shulshub. So they went and they read it and they read it again and again. B'shas p'tirasin, when they were about to leave, Amru lehem, diktaknu b'kol toraschem ve'emeshu. Yeah, we went through your whole Torah and it's all good and all true. Chutz midavar zeh shatim omrim, shor shal yishol shenog shor shal k'nani patr shal k'nani shenog shor shal yishol ve'in tam ve'in mor m'shalim nezv shalim. There's one thing that's really not fair. How can you have this idea that a non-Jewish owned shor gores a Jewish owned shor and he has to pay nezek shalim no matter what, and in the reverse he doesn't have to pay anything? That's the only part that's really not fair. Mimanav shuch, and just lishitas chan, just to read, even reading into the Torah, how can you have such a tradition if the Torah says shor re'ehu? I re'ehu dafka afil dekanani kinog d'Yisrael liftar. If re'ehu means dafka, so the guy should be excluded from the parsha entirely, and even when he's the mazik, he should be pater. Vi re'ehu laf dafka afil d'Yisrael. And if Re'eh was lav dafka, then you should always be chayiv, even when a Jewish owned shor gores a non-Jewish owned shor. But you should know, since that's the only thing we found that we don't like, we're not going to let anyone know about it. It will be our secret. If you look in the side of the Gemara, in the margin it says, right, that's part of what the Sradiotos were saying. We'll do a chesed to you. We're not going to let this be known to the Malchus. The Bnei Yisaskar writes that when the Yevanim were gozer, that kisvu lechem al keren ashar, shein lechem chelik b'lokai Yisrael, that you should write on the keren ashar, that you don't have chelik b'lokai Yisrael. Why dafka the keren ashar? It's because this is the sore point. The keren ashar is the sore point. The fact that when a shar damages with keren, and it's a Jewish shar that causes a non-Jewish shar, that you're going to be pater, and in the reverse, you pay nezek shalim, that's the point that causes the kinna, that causes the jealousy, and that's why they demanded that we write Al Keren Ashar, that we're denouncing the Torah, because it's the Keren Ashar that caused us to denounce the Torah, or that caused them to want us to denounce the Torah. Rosh Shmuel Bar Yehuda Shchivale Barta. Rosh Shmuel Bar Yehuda's daughter had passed away. So Amalei Rabbanan Leula Kum Nezel Menachme. So he said to the Rabbanan said to Ula, come, let's go, let's be Menachim him. He said, what do I have to do with the nechamas of the Babylonians? It's blasphemy. The way the Babylonians are menachem each other is blasphemy. Why? What do they do? Da'amri mayav shalemav. They go to a shiva call and they say, no, what can we do? What's there possible to do now? So what does that imply? Ha'ef shalemav avdi. That if there was something that they could do to reverse the decree of the Ribbono Shel Olam, they would do it. But that's suggesting that you'd go against the Ribbono Shel Olam's better judgment. So that's blasphemy. How could they say such a thing? So Azul hu l'chudai gabei. So he ended up going alone. Right? Ula refused to go because he says, I don't do that kind of nechama. That's not my thing. So he went alone without the Rabbanan and gave his own kind of nechama. Now is this la halacha l'maisa? Do we pass in this way? Are you not supposed to go into a shiva call and say, what can we do? You know, it's in the hands of God. What can we do? So the Amshul Shlomo points out that the Rif and the Rush don't bring this. They don't bring this la halacha. So he says, you see that it's not la halacha. However, if you look in Shulchan Aruch in Yardeis and Mishnayin Vav, the Rama writes that al yomer adam la'avel malach halasos kiyef shalashanos shezau kigiduv. right? You can't say to an avel, no, what can you do? You can't, we can't change this, because that's kigiduf, meaning sounds like, because the implication is that if it was efshar l'shanos, you would be meshana the gzeres HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to be mekabel gzeres HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ava. That's our job. The Maharil writes that even when you go to a shiva call, you shouldn't even say when it's a Yehudi, when it's a kasher or a Talmud Chacham who died, you shouldn't say tsar li al misasav, that it anguishes me, his death causes me pain, because that sounds like you're complaining about the Midas Hadin. That's what the Maharil writes. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. You can't even say that you're upset about. What's Avelus all about? It's supposed to be, you're not supposed to express anguish. You're not supposed to express it. It's the ability to express that sort of natural tsar that you have. And he says, I'll bring you a raya that the Maharil is wrong. It's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph. David says, tsarli alecha achi Yohanan. Sarli alecha. David HaMelech, when Yonasan dies, so he was his best friend, they had this Ava Sheinu Tluyu B'Davar. Sarli alecha. You're absolutely allowed to say that. When you're Mekonin, you're supposed to be Mekonin on your Tzara. That's not called Mitzrayim El Midas Hadin. So he thinks that that's not a problem. It's the only problem to say, what can we do? Which implies that if you had an opportunity to do something, you would do something. Now, in general, the Maritz Chayis points out this idea that Ula doesn't like the Babylonian style. He points out that near Be'enai, Ula, Hayimina Yardim Eretz Yisrael LeBavel. Ula was from those who went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And Darko Haya Leganos Esisnagus Abavliim. And you find throughout Shas, this is a classic Maritz Chayis, that Ula always denigrates the practices of the Babylonians. In Tainus Daf Tesam and Beis, Melot Sina Deduv Shibuzuzi Bavloi Lo Aski B'Torah. He says that they don't learn enough Torah. And he says, Kiechi Demeshakri Bavloi, Kamashakri Matrayu, that the Babylonians are a bunch of liars. And over here he doesn't want to go to be Menachim with them, because he thinks that Nichum Avelin is all wrong. So the point is that this is Ula's general thing. Ula has a thing against Babylonians. He missed the Alter Heim. He always missed Eretz Yisrael and the way things were done there. So anyway, so he went alone. Amrlei, and he said, this was the Nechama that he offered instead. Vayomer Hashem, al teitzar asma v'al titkar bam milchama, that the Ribbono Shel tells Moshe and Klal Yisrael, don't start up with Moav, don't fight a milchama with Moav. Why did God think Moshe would start up with Moav if he wasn't told to do so? Meaning, you're told Moshe only fought wars that he was told to fight. So why would he start a war with Moav if he wasn't told to ever fight a war with Moav? But Moshe could have made the following kalvachomer. Amar umamid yanim shlo bal el Lazarus Moav. If I have a command to go and fight the Midianim, and all they did was come to be Ozer to help out Moav, so Moavim Atzman lo kolshkein. So if I had a mitzvah to fight the Midianim, and the Midianim were only helpers to Moav, so Moav, all the more so, I should fight. Fract the Prashas Drachim in Drush Yud, don't we paskin that Ein Onshin Min Adin? He's going to make Kal V'chomer, he's going to carry out an onesh of a war against them, kill them all out. What about Einon Shemin Adin? So he says that you have to say that the klal of Einon Shemin Adin doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. That Bnei Noach could be Nana Shemin Adin. Why? Why should Bnei Noach be Nana Shemin Adin? So I'm just thinking out loud over here, what's the svar for Einon Shemin Adin? Because we're afraid that one of the svaras, there are a few reasons given, one of them is that we're afraid, if I'm going to say, look, if you do the lesser isser, you're going to be chayiv this onesh, when you do the greater isser, for sure you should be chayiv this onesh, but maybe that onesh is sufficient to give kapara for the lesser isser, but for the greater isser, that onesh is not sufficient to give kapara. You need some sort of greater kapara for that isser. It's not enough to give kapara to give that onesh. You would need something more. So the onesh is just a total waste. But a Ben Noach is chayiv misa for everything. Any one of his violations is chayiv misa. So as soon as you determine that he's violated an isser, so you don't have to get into the, you don't have to worry that it's maybe not enough for a kapara. It's plenty enough. It's fine. because he's automatically going to be chayv misa for everything. Maybe that's the svara, that there's an idea of onshim nadin for bnei noach. But anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu would have made such a kal v'chomer. So I'm like, Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo kisha olsa al daitcha, olsa al da'ati. It's not like your way of thinking is not like my way of thinking, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Shtei predos tovos yeshi lahotzi mehen, because there are going to be two wonderful people that come out from them, that come out from these people, Rusa Moavia v'na'ama ha'amonis. Rusa Moavia and Na'ama ha'amonis are both going to come out from them, and therefore you should, I think it's worth sparing the entire nation because of those great tzidkanios, nashim tzidkanios, that are going to descend from them. So now he says, here's his divrei nechama now. Remember, a guy just lost his daughter. So he says as follows, V'lo dvarim kal v'chomer, u'ma b'shvil shtei predos tovos ches HaKadosh Baruch Hu al beizu mos gedolos v'lo achrivan, for two good people that are going to come out of nations, the Ribon Shalom spared the entire nation. So everyone was saved. So Bito Shal Rebbe im Ksherihi Ru'i Hilatzis Mena Davatov Alachis Kamav Kamad Avachaya. So don't worry, I guarantee you, if anything good ever would have come out of your daughter, she would have lived. But it's since the Ribbono Shel Olam must have seen that nothing good is ever going to come out of her, and that's why he killed her. So I wouldn't try that at home, that kind of nechama. I don't know what kind of nechama that is. That sounds terrible. I'm not really sure what to make of that. That he says that if anything good ever could have come out of your daughter, then she would have lived. Just parenthetically, the Prashas Drachim, in that same drasha, asks, how could Moshe Rabbeinu not have seen Rus and Na'ama coming out of Ammon and Moav, or Moav and Ammon respectively? How could he not have seen that? Don't we know Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to see people who would come in future generations? When Moshe Rabbeinu before Vayachas HaMitzri, he Vayif and Kol V'cho, he looked, right, Rashi and Chumash quotes, the Medrash says that he looked in the Mitzri's future to see that nothing good is going to come out of him. And then Vayachas HaMitzri Vayitzmenei B'chol, and only then was he willing to kill the Mitzri. So the Mishnah Melech writes in the Prashas Rachim that no, Moshe saw the Shtei Predos Tovos, but he figured that if they're Chayiv Min Adin, then you're not supposed to pay attention. If Min Adin, you're Chayiv to kill them. So the two people that are going to come out of them are not worth it. It's not worth when there's a din in front of you that they're chayiv misa. So you're not supposed to look at what's going to come from it, what's not going to come from it, right? We don't do that. We don't look in the future. We look at what the chiyuv is right now. And if they're chayiv misa, they're chayiv misa. And the only reason that he was wrong was because we're not just talking about stam what's going to come from it. It was the Malchus Beis David that was supposed to come from it. So it was Hatzolos Klal Yisrael that was supposed to really come from it. Amr b'chir baraba, Amr b'chir baraba, Amr b'yochran. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar kol bria, afilu schar sicha na'a. Hakadosh Baruch Hu never withholds schar from people who deserve it, even the schar of nice speech. Di'ilu b'chira deka amra Moav. When the older daughter of Lot named the baby Moav, which was a very crass name to name the baby, that the baby came from my father, right? It demonstrates to everybody the situation from which the baby was conceived. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Al teitzar asmav al titkar ba milchama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we can't find a milchama, but milchama hu delo and gar yavid buhu. We can't find a milchama from them, but we can enslave them. We can do whatever else we want with them. We just can't fight them. Tzi'ira de kamra ben Ami, but the younger one who said ben Ami didn't say Moav. Omle HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe v'kraft mul b'nei Amon al tatsurim v'al titkar bam klal tafilu angar yelo tavid buhu. Then we're not allowed to start up with that at all. We can't do anything to them. So Avamra b'chir barab Amra b'shur ben karcha li'olam yaktim adam l'dvar mitzvah. The person should always try to go do a dvar mitzvah as early as possible. The person should be early to a dvar mitzvah. Shabishvil laila acha shekadma b'chirul tzira kadmasa arba doros l'Yisrael, because of one night earlier that the older daughter slept with her father before the younger daughter, she was zochet to have descendants be members of Klal Yisrael four generations earlier. Wait a second, I thought they didn't do a mitzvah. So the Tosfos says no, they had kavana l'shei mitzvah, right? Tosfos writes l'shei mitzvah. That they had kavan l'shem mitzvah, so you should always be. You see from the fact that they had kavan l'shem mitzvah that it was worthwhile; they were rewarded. So four doros that came earlier over the Yishai Davar Shlomo v'Yitzir Ad Rechavam d'Chsev Shemim Onama Amonis. Right, the younger daughter did not get into Klal Yisrael until the generation of Rechavam. Tanu Rabbanan, back to our originally scheduled topic. Shor shal yisol shenogach shor shal kuti pater. Vishal kuti shenogach shor shal yisol tam shalim chatsi nezik mur mishalim nezik shalim. By a kuti, it's not exactly like a guy. Our shor grows their shor were pater, their shor grows our shor, so it's chatsi nezik for a tam, nezik shalim for a muad. Rameir omer shor shal yisol shenogach shor shal kuti pater. Vishal kuti shenogach shor shal yisol bein tam bein muad mishalim nezik shalim. Rameir seems to say a kuti is exactly like a guy. Lameir tzav Rameir kutim gerei arayo sein. Does Rameir hold that kutim were illegitimate and therefore have a din of a guy, or a minhi kolak samabami rekam tahorim, any stain of blood that comes from rekam we can assume is tar because it comes from a guy and a guy's blood is tahar. Rabbi Yehuda matamim neshein gerim v'tahom, and Rabbi Yehuda says that they're tamim because they were gerim and they got mixed in amongst the non-Jews. Mi ben anachrim tahorim, but any stain that comes from real guyim is tahar. Mi ben yisrael ben akutim, this is the key line. Rameir mitamei, if it comes from kutim, Rameir says it's tamei. It sounds like Rameir holds that they're Jews. The Chum mitar shalonech shal kismei, and the Chum say that they're tahar. Almuk some Rameir kutim geri emesheim. Sounds like Rameir holds that kutim are real gerim. Some revoke knasu shakanas Rameir monum shliyit mubem. That's a special knas that he made against their money that we shouldn't get mixed in with them. But really he einachinami. He holds that they are geri emes. But when it comes to damages, that when they damage us, they're going to have to pay. When we damage them, we don't have to pay as a special knas to keep a distance between us and the Kutim. So Mitzvah Shem will continue from that point tomorrow. Tonight.